saw the golden city, New Jerusalem come down. 12 jasper walls and gates, such splendor all around. And he tells about a city of light that flows beneath the throne, where we'll drink and live eternally in a mansion all our own. Ooh, that don't make you want to go to the grub. That don't make you want to go to the grub. That don't make you want to go to the grub. I don't know what does. Well, they say there is no heartache there, and no more curse of sin. Cross the bed, and death can heal. No fighting and no battlefields, no war, no enemies. Where the lamb and lion lay side by side in that land of perfect peace. Ooh, that don't make you want to go to the grub. That don't make you want to go to the grub. That don't make you want to go to the bed. I don't know. Take your Bible. We're going to go to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to just do a little Bible study tonight. We're just going to kind of look verse by verse at the entire chapter. I'm going to share a couple things with you, and then we're just going to look at what it says, because I'm going to tell you something. There is some stuff in here that'll just light your fire. Amen. I'm going to tell you right now, it's good. That old boy that had a little speech impediment, it get dood and dood and tweet and tweet. Amen. And it does. I'm going to tell you, the more I get in the Word of God, the more I get excited about what it tells me. Now, sometimes it tells me stuff I ain't necessarily wanting to hear. Hello. And what I was thinking, I'm sitting here looking at this passage one day, and I'm thinking, Lord, you know, this place that we live in has an odor. Actually, it just stinks. Y'all know what I'm talking about? No, I'm just being honest and plain tonight, because I'm telling you, we've got a situation in this country, and I've made this statement several times to several people. That I keep hearing, well, what we need is revival. What we need is to get back to God. What we need is to have this awakening. And we need all of those, but can we be honest? And here's the thing. Tonight, if you want to share something back with me, you just go ahead and do that, because it's where we at tonight. We do this every Sunday night at my church. And I'll tell you right now, we have ourselves a hoot. We talk about things that people have heard about all their life, myth and misinformation. Well, my granny said, well, I love granny, but granny was wrong, okay, because here's what the Bible says. I had a lady tell me one time, she said, Brother, ain't know the Bible says every pot will sit on its own basin. I said, excuse me? She said, well, actually it says every pot will sit on its own bottom. I said, it does? She said, yeah. Honey, I've been looking for 35 years. I can't find that verse nowhere. I've used every resource. I've Googled, Foogled, Moogled. If you can do it, I've done it. That verse is not in that Bible. But somebody told that woman that that verse is in that Bible. And she went to her grave believing that verse was in there. It's amazing to me the things that people take out of God's Word and they just kind of flip them around and talk about them. And I'm telling you, and as I said, yes, we need revival. Yes, we need to go back to God. Yes, we need to do those things. But you know what? Can I just be honest with you? We've crossed a line. We ain't going back. Not going back, folks. Sorry, I hate to tell you this, but we're in a place where God has got to come and deal with this place according to his plan and his purpose. Now, bless God, every generation that has come along since Jesus left this planet probably thought they were going to be the one that would see that. Your grandma and grandpa, your great-grandma and grandma probably thought they would be the ones. But guess what? We very well just may be the generation that literally sees the promise of God. And we're living in a place that hates what we do. They hate this book. These teenagers don't believe in absolute truth. They believe it's a good book. It's cool because it's the Bible. My mom and dad like it. My grandpa, they love it. And, you know, we got one. But, you know, that Koran's pretty good. And that Book of Mormon's pretty good. And that book over there's pretty good. My friends... That's the statement. Well, my friend, and I remember Josh McDowell saying, Matt, that they asked a young lady, 16 years old, does the Bible say that premarital sex is wrong? And this is what she said. Well, for me, they said, no, stop. That ain't what we said. The question was, does the Bible say that premarital sex is wrong? She said, well, you know, if in my opinion, they said, honey, no. That's not what we're asking you. Does the Bible say that premarital sex is wrong? And this is what she said. Well, I don't want to offend nobody. Now, let me tell you something. This is where we are. To me, if you ask me, well, my opinion, well, I don't want to offend nobody. Well, my friend is a good person, and they love that book. And it's a good book, Brother Randy. It's okay. And I've had students sit down and eyeball me and be just as dead dog serious as they could be. About, well, my friend is this, and this is what, I'm telling you something, this book is absolute truth, but we have a generation that does not believe that. And when they come in here on a Sunday morning, and some of these younger adults are in the same boat, they are. They're not sure this is that yet. Well, you know, it's good. You know, but I don't, after that, I'm just, you know, I struggle because I hear these, and that's the problem. We've walked away from the absolute truth of God's Word. And so Paul, he's telling us, and you think, well, it's a cesspool. We know we're a society living in a cesspool society as Christians. What do we do? What can we do? Well, I'm not so sure that there's anything that we really can do. Now, there may be some things that we can do in it. We can't do anything necessarily about it. He said, well, we can pray. Well, we're going to get to that in a minute, yeah. But here's the deal. Regardless of what's going on in your home and your community and your state and your country and your world, you are still a born-again, bona fide child of God, saint of God, living with the power of the Holy Ghost in this mess. And that's how you have to look at it. Because if you don't, it's going to eat your lunch. It's going to overwhelm you. It will. Because here's the thing. People ask me all the time, Brother Andy, you keep saying you're a sinner. How can you preach the Word of God if you're a sinner? And I tell them this. Well, regardless of if I am lily white, snow white, clean, or absolutely dog dead, serious, flat, ugly, nasty, dirty, this book is still the truth. That don't change anything in this book as far as I'm concerned, as far as what I am or what I'm not. I'm not telling you that I'm perfect. I'm telling you that I'm preaching a book that is perfect, a gospel that is perfect. And that's the difference because everybody has sin. Amen? And so Paul is talking here, and he tells the church at Colossae, if you go to the first part of it, he talks about Paul the apostle, and he says to the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ, who are in Colossae. Did you hear that? If somebody was to come to your church and write an article about South Newington Baptist Church, would they say, to the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. Wow. Now, you're talking about a bar to reach. You're talking about a place to ascend to. Man, that's where it ought to be. It ought not be about this pew or that color or where you sit or who flung do or who did this or what. It ought to be about, are you a saint of God in a church of God presenting the gospel of God? And when everything else comes below that, then, my friend, everything else falls in place. But when that other stuff begins to take the place of the gospel of Christ, you're not going to get that kind of greeting from God or anybody. And I say this sometimes, I say it many times, and I don't mean it ugly, but it's just the truth. I don't care what other people think about when I praise the Lord and when I teach the gospel. I don't care. I had a lady one time tell me, she came to me and she said, "Brother Andy, I just need to talk to you." I said, "Sister, what in the world?" I think, oh, this woman. She said, "Listen, you just need to calm down. You just need to keep your jacket buttoned and don't, just stand there and calmly speak." I said, "Okay." So the next night I got my jacket on. I buttoned that bad boy up. It was mighty tight, but I buttoned it. And I stood there behind that podium. And I said, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." In my best preacherly, you know, thing. And I looked out and she was going. And I kept going. And I said, "And Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, and it set me free from the law of sin and death. Woo, glory to God." And I looked out and she was going. You can't come from where I come from and have had happen what has happened to me by the grace of God and not get excited. I'm sorry. If it didn't happen to you that way, bless your heart. You know what that means, amen? Bless your heart. Yes, sir. Well, Paul, he talks about to the saints and the faithful. Would to God, God would somebody, Brother Andy, you're faithful. You're faithful to preach the word. Brother, you're faithful to pray and you're faithful to lead. And you, man, listen, there ain't an accolade on this planet. If some of my friends would say, "Randy Lamb, you're a nut, you're stubborn, you crazy, but you're faithful." Lord, don't tell me that, honey. I'll run through them doors right there and knock them flat out. I seen a boy do that one night in the Church of God. I was over there singing. I went to Church of God. Boy, I've been in a lot of Church of God. And he got up, and I was in school with him. And he started running. He run down that side. He come across the front. He run this way. And he kept running. And I'm thinking, bless God, he just going to do a marathon. And he's running, and the preacher, he ain't slowed down. And he just, and this boy. And directly, he got to that, and he come to right here, and he stopped. And he turned and he looked at them back doors and I thought, uh-oh. Them was two big old honking oak doors. And he took off and I'm like, And then I went. And I heard, bam! And he knocked them off the hinges. And he landed on top of them out yonder in the yard. And I thought, somebody better call the ambulance. Call 911, that boy dead. Y'all, you go ahead and bring the corner, just bring him. Go, that boy, he dead. And I walked out there to check on him, and he got up and shook his head. And he walked back into church. Now, that's good. When you get excited like that, amen, that'll hurt you. Literally. I don't know if that's necessarily faithful. Some of the most faithful people I've seen in church were the folk that were the most quiet. You ain't got to yell and shout and scream like I do and jump up and run around in circles. But boy, when you're there every time the doors are open and the preacher don't have to call you to see if you're going to be in your spot. Come on. I want folk to serve in my church that are called to be in that place. That way I ain't got to call them on Saturday night to see if they're going to be there Sunday. If God called them, I ain't got to call them. Amen? That's all I'm telling you. But he says, we give thanks for you and pray for you. You know, I sing this song, Somebody's Praying. I'll probably do it this week sometime. But isn't it good to know that somebody's praying for you? Y'all have prayed for me and lifted up me to the Lord. I'm telling you, I have felt those prayers, and they have held me up and carried me through a liver transplant, through a kidney transplant, through a fistulagram where I literally died, through a stomach surgery where they took my stomach out, eye shots, traveling back and forth, thousands and thousands of dollars in medicine still going there. And you have prayed along with others. And to have somebody say, I am praying for you. There are many times when I'll pick up the phone and call one of my folk in my church. By the way, I've got one in the merch room right now. I think she's having a heart attack. She's had frontal lobe stuff, and she's had several brain surgeries. I don't know what's going on with her, but she's in trouble. So just as you sit there, just lift up. Her name is Teresa, and she's one of my faithful workers. And just remember her. But I just literally feel like that sometimes whenever you get involved with trying to minister to people, we think we've got to do the Herculean Superman thing. But you know what? Sometimes when I call folk in my church, I don't get them on the phone. I leave them a message. Brother, it's Randy Lamb. Just wanted you to know I was praying for you. I love you. Hope you have a great day. Just remember now, I love you. I'm praying for you. I get more responses from people say, you do not know how bad I needed somebody to pray for me at that moment. And I picked up that phone, and there you were. And I'm like, it's just a phone call. Do you get that? There are times when I'll call somebody, I have no idea why I'm calling. So my buddy said, hey, man, what's up? What you talking about? God told me to call you. He said, are you kidding? I said, no. What's happening? He said, well, let me tell you. And I'm like, uh-huh, yeah. It happens to me all the time. You have to be in tune to that. That's what Paul's talking about. He's talking about the fact he's in tune to the ministry that's going on in this church that he helped start, and they are flourishing. He says, we have heard of your faith. And I may not get through all this. I don't know. Bless God, it'll be midnight if we do. Has somebody heard of your faith? Does somebody know about your faith? Does somebody hear the gospel because of your faith? And it doesn't have to be from you. It could be somebody that you've led to Christ or that you've influenced. Teenagers, listen, I got teenagers now sending kids to my church in my youth group, and they were in my youth group. God, it just keeps multiplying. Keep multiplying. You know what's worse than that? Some folk won't give a rip about that. They care less. And a lot of them are sitting in a church. And I'm sorry, but I'm not going to brush that aside. I'm going to say, look, what are you doing? Where is your faith? How come we can't? Faith without works is. That's what the teenagers say. That's dead, Brother Ren. That's dead. That means that is no good. That's dead. They got all these little sayings. Amen. Bless God. You got to change every 6 months because they keep changing their little sayings. And that's why they talk in code where you can't understand what they're saying. Come on. They're talking to each other and you're going, what in the Sam Hill are y'all talking about? Never mind. They got this code thing, man. I'm telling you, them code breakers back in World War II ain't got nothing on these people. They got it going on. They know, and they'll flip you upside and you're like, huh? Google it. What does that mean? It's probably in there. They're adding some of that stuff to the dictionary. Do you believe that? They are. He says, we've heard of your faith. We've heard of your love for the saints. I have a church, and I probably told y'all this, a church in Live Oak, Florida, where I'm from. You know what I call it? Beirut Baptist. Think about that a second. Beirut Baptist. They say, so I say, oh, you're talking about Beirut Baptist, where bombs and grenades and bullets going off and people fight like good gracious. And that's their testimony. That is the testimony of a church. Now, I know that not everything is perfect in church. Somebody said ministry would be great if it wasn't for the people. Amen. Why? Because we're humans. We have issues. We have problems sometimes. We disagree. But, you know, I have problems with my family. Guess what? I still go see them. Still talk to them on the phone. I still love them. Go out and eat supper with them. Whatever happened to just conflict resolution? Instead of pulling out a gun or a knife, okay, or leaving, I'll just leave. Well, how's that? That's going to fix everything. You're going to take your junk and go to another place and start all over with your junk at another place. Amen or oh me? Come on. Mm-hmm. He says, we know what is laid up in heaven. This is just the introduction, by the way. Hello, come on. We know what is laid up in heaven for you. The truth of the word of God, he says, proves it. Oh, I love this. He says in verse 5, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. In other words, he said, this is why you do what you do. You don't do it because you have an ego problem and you need to have somebody pat you on the back and you need to have some self-worth, and so it's all wrapped up and you knocking yourself out. I don't have to knock myself out. I'm a child of the King. I'm born again. God's got me in the palm of his hand. I don't need no self-ego for that. I don't need no pat on the back. Feels good. I don't have to take a bath either, but it feels good. Amen? Come on, you know, you sixth graders, y'all know what I'm talking about, sixth graders, come on. They just run around in the shower, don't even touch the water, amen? They go in there, you check the towel, it's just as dry as it can be. You take a shower, mm-hmm. Whatever. That kind of, that'll preach right there. Some folk come to church and run around, never touch the Holy Spirit and run out the door. You in the church? Yeah, we had church today. I told Sister Betty, off! Ruh-roh. He don't say nothing about any of that kind of stuff here. I mean, he just keeps heaping accolade upon accolade upon. You wanna parrot your church, you ought to look at this. This is the church to do it at. He says, the truth of the word of God proves it. And he says something terrible. Your fruit and your produce is evident. Look what he says. Oh, I love this, man. Before in the word of God, the gospel of the truth, which has come to you as it has also in all the world and is bringing forth fruit. See what happens? When you're loving God and you're loving people and you're being faithful, you're studying the word of God, you're believing that truth, fruit will just happen. Somebody told me, what's wrong with our church, Brother Andy? What do you think's wrong with our church? I said, you. You, what's wrong with our church? That's kind of like when you tell kids, I don't know why they keep falling off. Why you tell kids, oh, you've gotten so big. You can't tell that to adults. They'll get mad, amen? Hey, you just gotten so big. tell that. Never mind. Don't say that. You get in trouble, amen? I'm telling you, one thing will produce the other. When you plant a tree and you water it and nurture it and take care of it and fertilize it, my friend, the sun, S-O-N, S-U-N, whichever one, will hit it and it will begin to produce fruit. What's wrong with our church? Us. Us. We need to produce fruit. Stop. He can't do it all. Your Sunday school, your deacons, they can't do it all. Everybody has a mission. Everybody has a mission. That's what Paul said. Me and Timothy, we got a mission. You guys have a mission, and it is evident in the fruit that is being produced. There are many, he says, witnesses of your faith. And that's just the introduction. And then it gets to verse 9. And that's where I want to kind of pick up and share just a couple things with you. Now, he says, for this reason, then, we also, since we day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing the ladies' Sunday school class, the deacon board. Is that what it says? Fully pleasing who? Him. Capital H-I-M. Being fruitful. There it is again. Ugly word alert. In every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might. According, You know how hard it is to get unstrengthened? Easy. It can happen. Boy, you walk in here and your bursitis is acting up and your toenails curled around to the left and your earlobes are hurting, they throbbing. Everything just hurts. Your hair hurts if you got hair. And Satan's going, ha ha! And you come in here, this is the day the Lord has made. Yeah. Hit me, sit down. That's real. But that's physical. The spiritual can be like King Kong, Superman, whatever you want, one of them Transformer things, I don't know, something. And you can do great and mighty things because you're strengthened, what it say, with his power, with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long. I snuck that one in on you. Another ugly word alert. Patience. Long suffering. And look what it says next. What's it say next? With joy. Are you kidding me, Lord? I got to be patient and long suffering and enjoy it. Some of y'all on your bed goes, not me. I might have to do it by a cracky, but I ain't gonna enjoy it. Man. Don't ask the Lord for patience. Amen. Bless the Lord. He'll give it to you. And you'll just enjoy the daylights out of that, I promise you. There'll be a song. You can write a song about it or a book about it. I made it over. I heard a song the other day, Lit My Fire. It said, on the other side of this. Did you know there's always another side of what's going on in your life right now? There's this side. And then there's the other side of this. Whew, come on now. That'll preach right there. But he says in verse, now let me finish reading this down to verse 12. He said, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Or in the light. And that ought to be enough right there to make you tear these walls down. You have been qualified. You have been made meet, M-E-E-T. You have passed the test. You are in. You are in. You are in. And so in verse 9, I'm just going to run through some of these things real quick that I jotted down one day. He says, don't stop praying in verse 9. Don't stop praying. Look, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard, I don't know when that day was. I don't know what day he heard it, but since the day he heard about them, it says, I did not cease to pray for you. So what's God saying? Don't stop praying. Now I know that there's lots of things we can do. That boob tube and that phone and the job and the da 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 da. You know, when's the last time you spent the whole day praying? The last time you spent the whole day on the lake? Or the whole day shopping? Or the whole day watching football? Or hunting. But to think that we could spend the whole day just praying. And any of you ready to go to Africa? Philippines? You ready to load up and let's go? Ain't got no toilet. Bunch of cobras running around. Ain't got no running water. Ain't no telling what you're going to eat. How many want to load up and let's go? I can get you a trip up tomorrow. Yeah. Most of us can't. But I tell you what we can do. We cannot stop praying. Well, see, you need to pray for guidance. You need to pray for direction. Here's the key. You need to pray for wisdom. You ever open your mouth and wish you hadn't? And it's gone like a bullet. Amen. I'm learning. God is teaching me to stop and kick my brain into gear before I kick my lips into gear. It's amazing. I go, I did. Never mind. I ain't going to say that. Lately, I'm on that Facebook and I'm like, sin. Preacher, You might not ought to send that. Matter of fact, just get rid of that. Erase it. You know, we quick with them fingers. We quick with them lips. We quick with that thing that we can say to somebody. You know one of the most disarming statements you can make to somebody? I will pray for you. And of course, when you don't pray for you, you're not going to pray for nobody else. If you don't love you, how are you going to love them? When you think you're inadequate and you're not good enough and you can't do this and you can't do that, when God has told you you are strengthened with all of His might, what are you telling God? Nah, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't live with me. Oh, yes, He does. If you're born again, He lives in you. I mean, guys, the Bible is so clear to us. Ain't nothing vague in there. It just tells us what's what. Don't stop praying. You can't go to Africa. You can't go to the Philippines. You can't go to some of these places. But bless God, you can pray. Amen. He says something else in front of him. He says, be filled with His knowledge. You know be filled is a verb? That means that's something you got to do. Anybody ever wanted some water? I have an adopted brother. And his name was Freddie. His brother was adopted by us. He stayed in our home for about a year, and then he left. But he would come and stand next to you at the sink and just stand there and not say a word. Nothing. And I'm getting water, and I'm like, Freddie, what do you want, man? Scary, man. He just shows up, just boom, there he is. And they just look at you. Freddie, you want some water? Well, brother, open your mouth. If you want water, you got to fill the glass. Come on.